Grace, mercy, and peace be to you this day. For most of my adult years, I've had a garden. A few years ago, I finally gave up my plot. I had a few health issues. We had so many travels, and I was doing this interim ministry in Walterboro that took a lot of extra time. But over the years, with my wife as my trusty expert weeder, we've grown tremendous produce. Thankfully, one of the members of the Walterboro Church, Farmer Bob, has kept us in fresh produce these last few years. All this goes to say that I have some knowledge from all these years that's helpful in hearing this parable. The parable of the sower and the seeds is the very first of the parables that Jesus told. Jesus goes on to tell several more, and by the way, you'll be hearing a number of those in these next few weeks as part of our gospel texts. And our reading today, maybe you didn't notice, was an excerpted version. The parable is told in verses 1 through 9. Then there's a gap in the reading that the lectors left out. When it picks up again in verse 18, it's not entirely clear if Jesus is speaking to the whole crowd or just to his disciples. Jesus rarely explained parables, but he did in this case. Pretty easy to understand what happens to the seed that falls on the path, the rocky ground and the thorns. My question is, why would a gardener waste all that seed? I mean, one little packet can cost like a couple of dollars. Can you imagine what it costs for a whole bushel basket of seed? Any gardener knows that a huge part of one's success is based on how you prepare the soil. In my garden for years, there was a tomato blight. It was devastating to the plants. They'd start to spring up, and then all of a sudden, they'd start turning yellow and then wither. I try to avoid using chemicals. So the last few years that I had my garden, I would dig out a big hole where I was going to plant the tomato plants, put in fresh soil that I was sure was not diseased, and then plant my tomatoes. And they looked great until a big wind came up and we got infected from the neighboring gardens. We maybe should focus on the seed. Back in those days, they didn't worry about genetically modified and probably not hybrid stuff. A part of each harvest required that they preserved a certain amount of the harvest to be seed for the coming season. In this parable, it seems like the supply of seed is unlimited. There is no thought to its value. Now, when I would plant green beans or peas, I would carefully create a furrow, and I would take each and plant it in exactly how far apart it was supposed to be, cover it gently. With tiny seeds like lettuce, I'd prepare a little furrow with my fingers and sprinkle these tiny little seeds and then pat them down. Seed is expensive, and so when not planted properly, a lot of it doesn't grow or it goes to waste or it has to be thinned to create a decent crop. So what's with the sower that's casting seed everywhere? Of course, the sower is Jesus. And the image just illustrates the incredible, outrageous generosity of God toward us. God's grace and forgiveness is available to everyone. No one is deemed undeserving. And who knows when it might take root. When I used to backpack in the Rocky Mountains, I used to marvel at how mountain wildflowers would sometimes grow up in seemingly impossible places, right in the middle of a game path or between rocks where it seemed like there wasn't any soil at all. More recently, I've had several volunteers among my flowering pots. In the spring, I carefully selected the flowers that I wanted in my pots and barrels. I arranged them nicely, but it seems that some of last year's seeds wanted a part in the action also. And in fact, in some cases, they totally crowded out what I had chosen. Those hardy vincas, I don't know if you have any experience with them, they're growing up in between the paver blocks where even weeds won't grow, and I've got a couple growing up in the concrete. Go figure. This imagery of seeds and growth highlights the fragility and the miracle of growing things. The easy conclusion is that we want to be good soil, where God's seed, His word, grows and produces bountifully. The hymn that we're going to sing at the end of the sermon considers that image wonderfully. But I also want to think about why Jesus is telling this parable to the crowd and then taking time to explain it very specifically. I think that Jesus was preparing them to be sowers of God's love and grace also. And that makes us, who are disciples today, both recipients of God's grace, but also sowers as well. Today, I think the image is appropriate. We need to lavishly and without judgment continue to spread the seed of God's word. But given all the rocks and the thorns that are in our world today, given that most have heard at least something of God's love and yet have been hesitant at least to be active in congregations or in the practice of faith, maybe we also need to think about what it means to be a modern gardener. Tending to the soil, like I had to do with those tomato plants, tending to the hurts, the bugs, the viruses that are present today among God's people. That's part of our task. It's not as simple as telling the story of Jesus. I think we need to hear the stories of those who are hurt and struggling, those who are being cast aside. And even when we think the soil isn't going to produce, those vincas teach us that we need to be ready to be surprised. God's word takes root often where we have no thought that it could ever happen. So yes, today's parable is encouragement to be good soil. But we also need to be cultivators of that soil in others, and generous in our willingness to sow that seed. We're invited to spread the seed of God's love and grace, but we also want to include the people who are so diseased, so wounded, so in need that their soil has become damaged. We've got valuable seed, and we plant, but God waters. Amen.